own, for my own personal advancement and answering questions that I had. They were coming, and very touching. So many times, very touching. I would like to. We're going to speak on something from the Bhagavatam right now, and I'd like to hand out some sheets. So these papers, they basically contain purports that we'll be reading from, so everyone can read along as we read from those purports. I'm not going to read all the purports that are in here, and these aren't only for today's class. There'll be a class now, and then we'll speak something this afternoon as well, and then there'll be two more tomorrow. We'll have time for another reading tomorrow, so we can spend more time in the actual reading, because there won't have to be any explanatory work. So we'll have reading and sharing tomorrow, the first thing tomorrow morning. And this incredible, see how fortunate we are to be sitting here with no encumbrances, trying to get nourished in our desire to be pure and to love and serve Krishna and his dear ones purely. So fortunate. So tomorrow we'll be reading from these sections. And one of the laws of teaching is that when you hand out handouts, that you can't talk for a while. Why?
Because people grow for
that. Huh?
People grow for that.
Yeah, naturally. You can't avoid it. You give mine. So just take a quick look through it so we can continue, but look at everything so you won't have to look while once the speaking begins. And then there'll be a time when I'll bring your attention to a part of one of the purports. I'm not going to read full purports, but sections of purports, and then I'll ask everyone to take them out again. So look to your heart's content. What I'll be doing in the classes, in each of the four classes directly on the Bhagavatam that I'll be giving, what I'll do is speak about a pastime. The first one will be from chapters 7 to 11 in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And then at the end we'll read from some of Srila Prabhupada's purports to make a specific point. There are so many points that are made in the purports, but I'm going to have extracted one point and skip and stick to that, basically. So the first class will be on those chapters. So obviously I'm going to be going through them quite quickly because it's five chapters, part of 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And then this afternoon we'll speak about Bali Maharaj, which is another great and grand pastime, and we'll go through that quite quickly. Very, very touching, actually. And then tomorrow, we'll hear something about Chitraketu Maharaj. And then finally, in the afternoon, we'll hear about Dhruva Maharaj. There are so many points to be made about each of these pastimes, practically unlimited points. But again, I've tried to extract out one point because there's something that I've been thinking about lately, and I'll basically be speaking about what's been affecting me and practically what I need to hear. And that's a wonderful thing about preaching, is because it's much harder to fall asleep while you're giving class. And you have to pay attention when you're giving class, so you have to hear what you're saying. So that's really the mood for my own purification, that I wish to share these pastimes. Okay, does anyone still need a little more time to look through their papers, or we can put them away until the appropriate moment? Okay. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, You are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna, who has returned among us.
Paramananda Pataya Prema Varsya Karayate Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostate.
O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Sadhu sadhu tadahyam nakini chacha tharaka namun sakadashim mam prena hiskanthayostada.
O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. Om Aganatamananda Sarjananjana Salakaya Chaksusamilatam Jainatasmai Sri Gurvena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Satanajikam. Does anyone know where is the first time in the Bhagavatam that we actually hear Krishna, or see Krishna in action, so to speak, him actually doing something as Krishna? Yes, Maharaj.
It was when his dear devotee Arjuna was in yes. utmost danger. Ashwatthama yes. had just thrown the Brahmastra to
at Arjuna.
He wanted to kill whom at that time?
Well, first, before that even, that's in 8. The first time you see a person really sticks into your mind. The first time and the last time also. So the first time Srila Vyasadeva introduces us to Krishna is a very important time, and that's in the middle of the 7th chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And at that time, Arjuna, his wife is whom?
Draupadi.
So Draupadi's 5 sleeping sons have been killed, mercilessly beheaded by Asatama, killed while they were asleep, just boys. And Draupadi's heart, being, even though she was a very heavy warrior, Kshatriya lady, her heart had broken by this, was broken. And Arjuna vowed to her that he would bring back the head of that heinous, cruel killer in retaliation, in revenge for what he had done. So Arjuna, this is right directly after the battle of Kurukshetra. Directly after the battle of Kurukshetra, just at the very end. So Arjuna got on his chariot and went after Asatama chasing him. And that's when we first see Krishna. And what is he doing? He's driving the chariot of his devotee. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is going to be discussed, his Leela as the Purusha avatars, as the creator of the material universes, as the supporter of everything. His Dwarka leader will be discussed. And the first time we see him, this all-pervading supreme personality of Godhead who's controlling everything, the first time we see him, he's driving the chariot of his devotee Arjuna. This is how he chooses to introduce himself to us as the servant of his devotee. And basically, this is Krishna. This is the most wonderful aspect of Krishna. Atma parjanta vidanyata aishwarya. Krishna has so much aishwarya, opulence, madhurya. What does madhurya mean? So much sweetness, karuna, mercy, swarupa purnata. His swarup, his very nature is full of this opulence, this mercy, this sweetness. But bhakta vatsalya, his quality of being, of moving towards his devotees, of serving his devotees, is even more wonderful than those most wonderful qualities of Krishna. Atma parjanta vadanyata. This is from Krishna's Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's so much a devotee of his devotees to the point that he even gives himself to his devotees. And this is how Krishna chooses to introduce himself, not as the great majestic Lord. These pastimes in chapter 7 going to the end of chapter 11 are very, very intimate, and they will be the most intimate description of Krishna that we will get until the 10th canto. In the 3rd canto, when Uddhava is speaking to Vidura, he gives a summary of the pastimes of Krishna both in and out of Vrindavan. But here there's descriptions. We actually see Krishna in action. And we won't see him again until the 10th canto. So, as our Sachinanda Maharaj would say, my dear devotees, please relish these with great taste, because Krishna is introducing himself to us. So, Krishna is driving his chariot to capture our Aswatthama and cut off his head to appease Draupadi. But as he gets closer to Aswatthama, Aswatthama becomes terrified because his death at the hands of angry Arjuna is very quickly approaching. And in desperation, he evokes the Brahmastra weapon. Actually, he's unqualified to do this, because before one has the right to use a weapon, according to Kshatriya codes, he has to know how to use it perfectly. He has to know how to throw it, and he has to know how to retract it as well. Aswatthama knows how to throw it, but he cannot retract it. But yet, because he's terrified for his own life, he knows he has done something horrible, he throws the Brahmastra weapon at Krishna. Excuse me, at Arjuna. Arjuna sees the glaring, deadly effulgence of the Brahmastra coming towards him, and he doesn't know what to do. But yet, he doesn't know how to counteract it, but he does know what to do. And what does he do? He asks Krishna for help. So he says to Krishna, Arjuna Uvacha, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho Bhaktanam Abhyanayaka. O Krishna. Mahabaho means, oh, powerful one, or mighty arm, but it also means, as Prabhupada translated, the Almighty. This is Krishna, the Almighty, who's driving the chariot of his devotee, but it doesn't lessen his position at all. He's still almighty. Bhaktyanam Abhinayakam. O Krishna, O Mighty Arm, the Almighty, you are the remover of the fear of your devotee. Is that relevant to us? Of all the aspects of the material world, fear, terror, and therefore defending is most prominent. Arjuna already is teaching us that although Krishna may serve his devotee, but yet his position isn't lessened at all, and he has the almighty capacity to remove all the fear within our heart. What are we afraid of in this world? We all have our own lists. We should turn to Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. There is no limit, Prabhupada's translation. You are the almighty personality of Godhead. Oh, my Lord Sri Krishna, there is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. The flames. Why flames of material miseries? Why? Why are material miseries like flames? They burn the heart, the mind, the body. They burn. Next verse. Chvam adhya purusham shakshad ishvara prakriti para mayam vyudasya chitshakya kaivalya stita atmani. Arjuna is describing and taking shelter of Krishna. He's describing Krishna's position. You, although you are driving my chariot, you are the Adya Purusha, the original personality, Shaksha, directly. Adi Purusha Shaksha, Ishvara Parama, Ishvara Prakriti Para. You are beyond the material energy. Here you are in the material world, but you are beyond the material energy. This is so important for us to understand the Leela of Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. He's the controller of everything. Universes come from His skin holes. He's all-powerful, all-pervading, everywhere. And He's driving the chariot of His devotee. And Kaivalya Stita Atmani Mayam Vyudasya Chitshaktya. You are here by your Chitshakti, your internal potency. You are not touched by the material energy. So when you are doing something, Krishna, the reasons why you are doing that are completely different from the reasons in which I would be doing that same thing. If I was driving someone's chariot, if I was serving someone, it would be out of force only. It would be something to do with the material energy. But when Krishna acts, everything is going on by His free will in relationship to His devotees, having nothing to do with the material energy. His body itself, Satchidananda Vigraha, completely spiritual, composed of bliss, eternity, and knowledge. So Arjuna is taking shelter of Krishna in this way. You have cast away, Prabhupada says, the effects of the material energy by dint of your spiritual potency. It is all resting on you. You are always situated in eternal bliss and transcendental knowledge. The material world does not touch Krishna. Until we are on a very exalted platform of devotion, it's required that we always keep this in mind when we are hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Otherwise we will become confused and think that Krishna's pastimes have something to do with the material world. But they are nothing. When Krishna comes, it's Padamekam Nagachati. He does not take one step out of Vrindavan. He doesn't actually descend to the material world. We usually define avatar as one who descends to the material world. But Krishna doesn't descend to the material world. He never touches the material world. He is never in the material world. He is always in the spiritual world. But when he descends, what we mean is that he allows us to see, to get a glimpse of his pastimes, which he performs out of his mercy to attract our hearts from this material world, which burns us like fire. So then, Arjuna, of course, offers so many prayers. But then he says, Krishna, save me. The Brahmastra is coming, I don't know what to do. Save me. And Krishna tells him just what to do. His first action is the service of his devotee that we see, and his first words are instructions how to protect his devotee from the most fearful death-causing circumstance. And he says, just throw your own Brahmastra, and that will join with the Brahmastra thrown by Aswatthama, and then when you withdraw yours, because you know how to do that, then the Brahmastra of Aswatthama will also be withdrawn, and then you'll be saved. So Arjuna does do that. He withdraws his own Brahmastra, and including Aswatthama's Brahmastra, and the result is that he can capture Aswatthama. He ties him up, he binds him up like an animal. Arjuna's eyes are blood red with anger due to what Aswatthama has done. And Krishna tells him, do not spare him. Arjuna brings him to the camp. How does he go? On the chariot with Arjuna, with Krishna driving. And there, he brings the killer of the sons of Draupadi before Draupadi and the other Pandavas. Draupadi sees Aswatthama. Who is Aswatthama's father? Dronacharya. And what's Dronacharya's relationship with Arjun? Guru. Draupadi is so cultured. She sees the son of my guru tied up with ropes. She cannot tolerate this. Release him. Why make creepy this boy's mother cry like I am crying now? Tender-hearted. And he's very, very, very touching. Yudhisthira agrees. Release him. Untie him. Sahadeva and Nakul agree. Release him. Bhim, no! Kill him! Two different parties, same family, going to fight now. Krishna, as explained in the verse, becomes Chaturbhuja, four arms. Two arms separating the parties on this side. Two arms service to his devotee. And then he tells Arjuna, Arjuna, you have to do both. You have to kill him and not kill him to satisfy everyone. And then he inspires Arjuna with the solution from within his heart. And Arjuna understands that Aswatthama has a valuable jewel. So he cuts that jewel and insults him in this way. And then they drive him out of the camp. Insulted like death, but yet alive. Both sides have been satisfied by Krishna's grace, protecting and caring for his devotees, protecting their lives, inspiring them, stopping quarrels, everything. Then the battle of Kurukshetra is over, so the funeral rituals are being performed, and everyone's hearts are very morose, very sad. So many thousands and thousands, literally millions of people have died in this battle to install Yudhisthira as the king. Millions of people have died. And this was Krishna's purpose. So much of Krishna's yada yada hi dhammas ya glanir bhavati bharata. He has come to remove the burden of the earth, the overburden of the Kshatriya kings that Bhumi was complaining about in the beginning of the 10th canto. We read of this. His mission had been fulfilled. And now Krishna, who had been away from his home, where was Krishna living by this time?
Dwarka.
Raise your hand if you've been to Dwarka. Raise your hand if you've never been to Dwarka. Krishna was living there, and he was preparing, his duties now having been fulfilled, he was preparing to return to Dwarka. And suddenly, Krishna's about to leave. The Pandavas are by him, by his side. We can't imagine, practically speaking, what it would be like to be with Krishna. But Krishna was going to leave. If we have had some experiences of love in our life, the separation from the beloved is heart-rending. But suddenly, before Krishna can leave, Uttara, who is Uttara? Not the wife of Arjuna. There's a long pastime about that, which we won't tell right now. But the wife of Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, who has just been killed. And that's a whole nother pastime in the Mahabharata. Wonderful, wonderful. Such a powerful son. She is carrying within her womb the child of Arjuna, the heir to the Pandavas, the Kuru dynasty. And she comes, and what does she say? She says, she runs to Krishna and says, Pahi, Pahi, Mahayogin, Deva, Deva, Jagatpate, Pahi. What does Pahi mean? Protect me, Mahayogi, the greatest of mystics. Deva, Deva, Jagatpate, you are practically the most, you are the powerful of the most powerful. Protect me, protect me. Why? Because another Aswatthama sent Brahmastra is coming towards me and going to kill the child in my womb. For me, I wouldn't care, but my child in the womb is going to die. Protect me, protect me. And at the same time, another Brahmastra is coming to the Pandavas, shot by Aswatthama, to kill every remaining Kuru. And what did Krishna do? The Pandavas raised their weapons, but it was to be no avail. But Krishna stopped the Brahmastra that was heading towards them. And then also, within the womb, because Krishna is everywhere, what a benefit to take shelter of a person who is all-powerful and everywhere. Because if someone was all-powerful but localized in one place, we might be in a place where he couldn't protect us when we needed him. So Krishna, who is in everyone's heart, he expanded himself and protected the child within the womb. And that child was whom? Maharaj Prickett, who is going to be hearing this Bhagavatam. I was hearing it, actually. Now, a little later, in the first canto, what Maharaj Prickett saw is described in chapter 12. He was suffering from the burning heat of the Brahmastra coming towards him. He, the Lord, was only thumb high, but he was all transcendental. He was very beautiful, blackish, infallible body, and he wore a dress of lightning yellow and a helmet of blazing gold. Thus, he was seen by the child. And Parikit's name means the examiner, because after this point, even though he was within the womb, he actually saw this child. He saw the Lord, who was enriched with four hands, earrings of molten gold, and eyes blood red with fury, because his devotee was being attacked. He was standing about, loitering about, his club constantly circling like a shooting star. And he dispelled the radiation. The child saw him. And from that moment on, he was examining every person he saw, looking for that person who he had seen in his womb, and therefore he is called Parikshit. Every devotee, whether we are little devotees or great devotees, has had some experience of Krishna. Let us all examine every moment our lives as it proceeds, looking for that experience of Krishna again, and not being satisfied until we find that. Let us always be looking for Krishna. Kunti Devi was amongst those who were with Krishna when he was leaving the Pandavas at this time. And she saw, she was given the ability to see. Better not have our backs to Prabhupada. She was given the ability to see what Krishna had done, that he was outside and protecting the Pandavas from the Brahmastra on one hand, and on the other hand, he was inside of the womb of Uttara, protecting Parikit Maharaj, the unborn child. So she was amazed to see that Krishna was inside and outside. And now, having saved this Pandava heir, Krishna again was going to leave. For where? Home in Dwarka. And Kunti Devi approached him and began to offer prayers. These prayers of Kunti Devi's are very wonderful. I'd like to read just a few of them. Let's hear what she says. First, Kunti Uvacha. Namashe Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Prakriti Param Alaksha Sarvabhutanam Antarbahiravastidam. You, my obeisances, namashe, purusham, tva adyam, you are the original person. She wasn't bewildered by Maya, thinking that he was an ordinary person just because he was standing there and now leaving for Dwarka. No, you are the Purusha Adya, the original person, the Ishvara Prakriti Param, the controller of the supreme, of all the material energy. And you are Param, you are supreme. But yet, Alaksha Sarvabhutanam, Krishna is the controller of everything, but Alaksham Sarvabhutanam, you are invisible to all living entities, sarva-bhutanam. This is our position. Krishna is everywhere, everything rests upon him. But yet, how unfortunate we are, a Laksha Sarvabhutanam. We cannot see him. Still more amazingly, her last line, Anta Bahira Vastitam. She has just seen that Krishna is outside and inside. So although you are outside of everything and inside everything, you're everywhere, still you are invisible to us. Why? Maya Javani Kachanam Agya Arhoksha Jamavyayam Nalakshase Mudhadvisha Nato Natyadaro Yata. Because Maya Javani Kachanam. Javani Kachanam means a curtain. Because the curtain of Maya is covering our eyes. The curtain of the deluding energy, and therefore Muda Drisha, the foolish observer, cannot see you. Although, just as an actor is not recognized on the stage when he's dressed up. Tata Paramahansanam Muninam Mamanatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vedanartam Katam Pashemahistriya. So you've come, my dear Krishna, for the Paramhamsas. You've descended for the great souls to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service into the heart of the advanced transcendentalists, the Paramhamsas, who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. They are not confused by what is matter, what is spirit. No illusion exists within that, and for them you have come. So what can we do, we women? Meaning we fallen souls who are covered by the curtain of Maya. You've come for them, great souls, but we are not great souls. How can we see who you are? That curtain of Maya is bewildering us. And in the next verse, she gives a hint as to the cure for all souls, how they can have the curtain of Maya removed. And that hint is a very sweet verse. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Naha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and senses. Every name that she calls Krishna by is in relationship to his devotees. If we become devotees of Krishna, or better still, devotees of the devotees of Krishna, then, although we don't have great qualifications, we identify with matter, and therefore the curtain of Maya is very heavenly drawn, covering our eyes. If we become devotees of the devotees, then if we become connected to Krishna through his devotees, then that curtain will rise. Kunti speaks so many other nice prayers, and Krishna is again, he acknowledges those prayers. And he's again going to leave. But then suddenly, Yudhisthira Maharaj comes. And Yudhisthira Maharaj says, my heart has been broken. Yes, now I'm the king. The battle of Kurukshetra is over. I'm the king. But to place me as the king, millions and millions and millions of people have been killed. And he could not bear that. previously they had performed Aswamedha sacrifices to remove any sin that may have occurred, but these weren't sufficient to remove Yudhisthira's feelings of moroseness and guilt that thousands and millions of people had been killed. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna feared the very same thing. Millions of people are going to be killed, and I'm going to have to carry the sin of all that. And after the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhisthira Maharaj, after the people have actually been killed, is feeling that great weight. Sages have preached to him. They could not remove that feeling of the sin. Krishna himself has preached to him. And he could not remove the feeling that so much ill has been done, and I'm responsible. Aswamedha sacrifices have been performed, and still that guilty feeling cannot be removed. So he comes to Krishna and expresses this problem. Look what has happened to me. I'm carrying this sin because it is done on my behalf. What does Krishna do? And this is so wonderful. Krishna then goes with Yudhisthira to the dying Bhishma Dev. And there are three reasons why Krishna does this. And these are explained in Prabhupada's purports. The first reason is that, and again, we're learning about Krishna here. We're learning about this personality, supreme personality of Godhead and what his nature is. The first reason is that he has been unable to convince Yudhisthira that there is no sin on his part. And now, he wants Bhishma Dev to speak to him. Bhishma Dev, his devotee, will be able to convince Yudhisthira. The Lord's devotee will be able to do something that the Lord himself has been unable to do. And Krishna wants to show that. In addition, and these reasons have to do with more in the Mahabharata. He wants Bhishma Dev to see Yudhisthira now as the king, because he's seen Yudhisthira go through so much suffering. So to please Bhishma Dev, because Bhishma Dev is soon going to die, and he wants Bhishma Dev to see Yudhisthira as the king before he departs from this world. And because Bhishma Dev is soon to die, he wants Bhishma Dev to see him. Krishna himself is going to appear before Bhishma Dev while Bhishma Dev is leaving this world. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajanyante kalevaram. He wants to be present before Bhishma Dev, right in front of his eyes as he's dying.